Hello, this is a Please Explain Extra. I'm Tori Maguire. This weekend, Labor intensified its pitch to voters in a campaign launch that focused heavily on wages.
My fellow Australians, at this election, you have the power to change our country for the better.
And on Monday, we published the latest Ipsos polling, which showed the election is still way too close to call. We're joined by Chief Political Correspondent David Crowe, who was in Brisbane on Sunday for the Labor Party campaign launch. David, thanks so much for joining us.
G'day, Tori.
Tell us about how it went for Bill Shorten in Brisbane on Sunday.
It was a very polished, very professional, and I think in the room, a very high-impact campaign launch. These things are heavily choreographed, but they're heavily choreographed for a purpose or for a reason. And the reason is that they are this big moment when they can try to cut through with a sharp message. And Bill Shorten had a very, I think, a strong message, three key themes, fair go economics, the argument that everybody needs a better go and that they've been dudded, in his view, by the coalition government. One of his messages, which we keep hearing, well, I've heard it again today, which he used in his speech, the economy's not working for ordinary people. So even though the economy may be fine in some quarters, Bill Shorten's message is the economy is not working for you. Now, whether that hits home with enough voters or not is something that will be yet to be seen, but it's certainly a big theme of his campaign launch. And I found one of the other things that really was a strong message when the government says that they can't afford a new service, whether it's health, education or something else, Bill Shorten says to voters what they really mean is, you don't deserve it. So that's another quite emotional message in a sense about you deserve more, you deserve better from this government, you deserve a better quality of government services, and the only way to get that is to vote Labor. That's really what it boiled down to. We've heard a lot about all those Labor taxes, the tax changes that raise a lot of revenue over 10 years. The campaign launch was very much about what that money will be used for. Most of the things we already knew, there wasn't a major new thing that was announced in terms of outlays, but it was a very strong message on delivery of government services.
These things are also often very much about the optics, aren't they? And Bill Shorten was introduced by a sort of stream of speeches by women, and the stage featured a lot of women to make the point, a big contrast to the situation that Scott Morrison's in with a not particularly strong bunch of women on his front bench. Do you think those things actually cut through?
I do think they matter. I can't be certain how much of it is seen by the wider voting public, but it was a very, very strong theme in the room and in the media coverage on the day. And we're talking about the fact that the Queensland Premier, Anastasia Palaszczuk, introduces Bill Shorten, says, look, he's not perfect, he's not a Queenslander, but he's married to one. You know, that kind of message in Queensland is aimed at lifting him there. He was then introduced by Penny Wong, who did a very important job, which is to belittle and pick apart and attack the government. And then Tanya Plibersek spoke. So three strong women introducing him. And then the final introduction came from Chloe Shorten. Really important element of humanising Bill Shorten, showing him as a family man. And I thought it was very effective. Not all of that could get to air in the television news. Yeah. Not all of it could be crammed into every bit of our media coverage the next day. So whether a lot of ordinary voters see it or not is one of those big questions.
One of the things that I did wonder what ordinary voters would think about was Julia Gillard and Kevin Rudd smiling and backslapping and sitting next to each other in the front row. That was quite a moment. Do those sort of things matter in the fight for sort of presenting a united front?
I don't think many people would believe that they're all one big happy family now, but I think it was important for them to show that unity and that sense of, look, maybe not a completely convincing, but at least an attempt at reconciling the things of the past and moving on from those events of the past. And that's a very strong message from Labor. They've got to send it and they've got to convince voters that they've recovered from it. But I think having those two former prime ministers there was a really important way to do that. I think having Paul Keating there also helped, because it's very interesting when I've been in Brisbane for a couple of days looking at people in marginal seats, having a talk to people, And people still remember Paul Keating as a very strong Labor Prime Minister, not always liked, but a very strong leader. And so I think having somebody like that at the campaign launch, just the image alone is very important for Labor.
Did it help, though, when he made his interesting intervention into foreign policy commentary later that day when he started talking about China and how some of our security chiefs are nutters who needed to be sacked?
No, it didn't help. But what they needed was the image of Paul Keating rather than him intervening on a policy question during the campaign. It's very interesting, isn't it? But with Paul Keating, you can't decide you get him on this term or that term. You know, if you invite him to the campaign launch, he'll say what he thinks, and he's got strong opinions. It's a really big debate up for debate across the political spectrum. He certainly made waves with those remarks about having a clean out of the security agencies.
It actually hasn't been an issue in this election, sort of foreign policy and security and those sort of things to this point yet, has it?
Even border security hasn't really figured in the way that we might have expected, because the government really needs to throw everything they have at Labor, and you would have thought that they would have been out there on that one by now. So Paul Keating has put national security in the broadest sense into the election campaign, which wouldn't have been expected. And look, as a journalist, I'm all for wildcard developments that throw everybody off their feet.
Absolutely. Let's talk Ipsos polling, David. In Monday's papers in the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, we published our second to last poll before the election. There'll be another one coming out on the day before the election. What is the polling saying at the moment?
It's telling us that it's a close race, or closer than it had been leading into the campaign. And I think that is being seen not just in the Ipsos polling, but in polling across the board. And so I think that there's a consistent message coming through there, a tightening.
So the two-party preferred has come in 1 point, hasn't it? So yeah. Labor is now 52 and the Coalition is 48.
That's right. Now, that's still quite comfortable for Labor compared to the last election. It means that they're 2 percentage points up, or a little bit more than that, and they can expect 10 seats or more if there's a uniform swing. The thing is, if you talk to people who know how this works on both sides, nobody's expecting a uniform national swing. That won't happen. It's very much a seat-by-seat election campaign. So, as usual, polling is a rough guide to the election contest, but it does show that Labor is ahead. The really interesting thing, I thought, was what happened outside the margin of error, an increase in Bill Shorten's rating as preferred Prime Minister, quite a big increase, 5 percentage points. Also, an increase in the disapproval rating for Scott Morrison as Prime Minister, and a decrease in the disapproval rating for Bill Shorten. So, on these personal measures, Bill Shorten ended up being a net winner from this poll. And I found that very intriguing, because how he presents himself as an alternative Prime Minister is really fundamental to how Labor fights this campaign.
One of the things that I thought was really interesting is that we asked voters about their perceptions of characteristics of the two Prime Ministers, and both of them suffered quite a lot in this poll on their grasp of economic policy, which, given almost the entire campaign's being fought on economic policy, I thought was interesting.
I found that fascinating, because you would expect, after the budget and their strong message on economic management, that would resonate with at least some part of the electorate. But the coalition of Scott Morrison personally has gone backward on economic management. Mind you, Bill Shorten's gone backward on it as well. I think that's probably more dangerous for Scott Morrison, because he's relying on economic management as his winning issue much more heavily than any other issue in this campaign, whereas Bill Shorten is putting a lot of emphasis, not just on Sunday, but for several weeks, again on Monday, on health. So he wants to be seen as somebody who'll invest in health. If he is behind Scott Morrison on economic management, it doesn't count him out of the race by any means.
David, thanks so much for your time. We will get you back on Please Explain very soon.
Thanks, Tori.
That was David Crowe, the Chief Political Correspondent of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age. This Please Explain Extra was produced by David Escort, with technical assistance from David McMillan and Debbie Harrington. Our full weekly episode of Please Explain will drop, as usual, this Thursday afternoon. Catch you then.